We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Well, the Saints got their guy. Clint Kubiak is expected to be the next offensive coordinator of the New Orleans Saints. He was a guy that kind of targeted very early on, went through the process, still got to go through to the other side of the Super Bowl, but everything says that he's going to be their next offensive coordinator. Big get for the Saints. I'm Nick Underhill here with Mike Triplett. We're going to break that down. We talked to Nick Anderson earlier today. Before this news break, we're going to have that conversation on here after we break down the Kubiak thing, but time to put this one to bed and figure out what the Saints are going to look like next season.
It's hard not to be excited. I'm actually already worried that we're going to start overhyping this move, and that'll come back to bite us in the face, like when we told everyone how good Chris Olave looked in training camp last year. But you can't help but like the way this turned out for the Saints.
Hey, Olave still got over 1,000. He had a good season. But you know who never slumps and you never got to worry about dry spots for him? PJ's Coffee, they are a presenting sponsor. And if you need a new car, make sure you check out my guy, Matt Bowers. He's got dealerships all over the region, including this one right behind us on Veterans Memorial Boulevard. If you need a new Ford, go check him out. Best prices, best customer care, best service, best everything. So make sure your next car is from Matt Bowers. All right, let's hit these ads. The New Orleans Football Show is proudly presented by PJ's Coffee. PJ's Coffee has some of the best drinks that you can find. They have locations all over the city. They have pastries and everything else you need to get your day started. So go check them out. Are you looking for the perfect engagement ring? Look no further than Friend & Company Fine Jewelers' new engagement salon. This new area houses a wide selection of engagement rings to choose from in all cuts, sizes, and colors. Their experienced staff offer five-star customer care to help you find the perfect ring to express your love. Visit their new engagement salon today. Friend & Company Fine Jewelers, the perfect ring for the perfect moment and also for the perfect person. 7713 Maple Street between Adams and Burdett Street. 504-866-5433. Friend & Company Fine Jewelers. Check them out at friendandcompany.com. Hard Hat Punch Tool Strawberry Whiskey is an 86 proof blend of aged wheat bourbon, American light whiskey, and fresh Punch Tool strawberries. Blended in New Orleans, it is not for the thin-skinned. Look for it in your favorite stores, bars, and restaurants. New Orleans Stop Football is proud to be sponsored by Firehouse Subs. Make sure you check out their location on Veterans Boulevard. All right, let's get into the show. All right, time for the moment presented by New Orleans Hamburger and Seafood Company. Normally, this is the lead presented by Running Company. We're going to get to that right after this because we had to re-record this intro because they hired a new offensive coordinator. But Clint Kubiak, man, it doesn't feel like this could have gone any better for the Saints. I know Zach Robinson and Dan Pitcher were also high up on their list, but I think Kubiak very quickly emerged as a leading candidate. They go through the process. They recruit him. They still kind of have to finalize it after the Super Bowl, but they went in and took the guy they wanted from the 49ers against other teams. I mean, this is a win for Dennis Allen and the staff, and they needed a win. We'll see if it actually works out on the field, but PR wise, optically, theoretically, like, it checks a lot of boxes, and this is a big moment for this team.
I think so too. Look, I mean, the narrative was obviously it's been over 2 weeks since they fired Pete Carmichael. A flurry of teams just hired their offensive coordinator yesterday. It got to the point where 12 of the 16 positions had already been filled, and it really became Clint Kubiak or bust for the Saints, because anything else would have looked like they were settling. So narrative wise, it's huge. The narrative that nobody would want to work for Dennis Allen, That's out the window because they got one of the top guys. I mean, this guy was requested by most of the teams who wanted jobs. Cannot accept this job until after the Super Bowl, so it won't be official till then. And this explains why the Saints process was taking so long. This guy, truly, we talked to people behind the scenes, we are on the record, off the record. This is not a, hey, we got our guy all along, like you hear at every draft class. This was a guy they really wanted. The process they very clearly wanted. We like what Kyle Shanahan's offense is doing around this league. We like what Sean McVay's offense is doing around this league. Similar, but different. But we want to look at assistance from those two trees. However, they also wanted somebody who had play calling experience. One of the guys who dropped out, or that they interviewed twice, but then dropped out of when it didn't feel like it was going his direction, was Jerod Johnson. Comes from that tree, but didn't have play calling experience. Clint Kubiak, like you said, checks all those boxes, called plays for the Vikings, called plays for the Broncos. The only reason he's not still in those jobs is his head coach happened to get fired both times. He never really got fired for doing a bad job. And as soon as he became available, Kyle Shanahan hired him. Everyone thinks he's a sharp mind, innovative mind. Does not mean it's going to work. But if you're out there in this sea of 16 teams looking for a coordinator and you say, we want an innovative young mind with some experience, with some exposure to Shanahan, he was on a list of about three names that fits all three of those.
Yeah, look, I mean, as far as what you're saying, we reported last week that they were narrowing down their search and that they were closing in on their guy and they were adhering to league rules, like, you know, so adhering to league rules, they still can't hire him until after the Super Bowl. So they were adhering to league rules. They still are adhering to league rules. But look, there's a lot of talk out there. A lot of people talk about and they want to act like they know what's going on. They never offered the job to anybody but Clint Kubiak. Right. They didn't offer the job to Jerod Johnson. They didn't offer the job to Luke Getsy. They didn't offer the job to Dan Pitcher. They didn't offer the job to Zach Robinson. They offered the job to Clint Kubiak. That was the guy that they went out and they got, and they took him. Now, Pitcher and Robinson got taken off the market before they could even really get down the line with them. So who knows?
I don't think Pitcher even ended up coming in for his second interview.
No, he didn't because they hired him first. Yeah, so they might have ended up getting down the line with those guys, but they didn't. There was one guy, though, that they offered the job to. This wasn't the clown car show that everybody made it out to be. Like, they had their process. They went through it, and they got their person. And, you know, the fact of the matter is you look at the list of a lot of these jobs, and, again, it was right after the tier. There was the tier one jobs, and then you get to tier two, and tier two, they're right there. Like, there weren't, you know, Pittsburgh or the Saints. Like, the Saints have a better roster than them. The Raiders or the Saints. The Saints have a better roster than them on offense. You know, Patriots. I mean, it's, you go down the list, like, it is a little bit better. But, like, now Kubiak has to make all that stuff work. And I like the idea of him on this team because the difference between, I think, him and McVay is that McVay puts a little bit more on his quarterback, and the Shanahan offense is kind of about running and building off the run and making life easier for the quarterback and trying to make it so that the quarterback's only throwing 20, 25 times a game. And if you can do that for Derek Carr with all the shifts and the motion and making the defense kind of declare what it's doing before you snap the ball, and now he's not out there trying to carry all the weight, which is what the vision was for this to begin with. If you can do that and actually have an effective running game to go along with it, I mean, I think the idea of this could work. Yeah. It just has to actually work now. But if you're going to go out and you're going to lay your bet on this, like, I'm glad that he got Kubiak. It feels like there isn't any excuses from here. We said that last year when they got quarterback. But, I mean, you know, you kind of got what you need now, and either it works or it doesn't. And, you know, that's kind of what I wanted it to be. I didn't want them to, like, strike out on everything, and it's like they got, you know, plan B, which would have been probably Getsy or Ronald Curry. Like, you got plan A. So there's nothing to talk about now. You got it. You put it together. You make it work. And, you know, I like that it worked out like this, because I just don't want to have, you know, any of the maybes or the ifs or the buts. Like, you know what it is, and it should work.
Yeah, and look, sometimes change for change sake is not the right answer. You don't just have to make change for change sake if you believe in people. But the whole point of this change, they respect Pete Carmichael. They needed something different here. They needed new ideas. They needed people who had been exposed to other ideas. So, like, I have a ton of respect for Ronald Curry, and maybe they'll get a huge win and get to keep him as their quarterbacks coach. He did good things with Derek Carr at the end of last year, but he wouldn't have brought, hey, have you guys ever thought of this, into the building. He was already in the building. They needed a fresh approach, fresh ideas. I had started to talk myself into Luke Getsy, even though he got fired by Chicago, because of all the things he had been exposed to. But I wanted somebody who had different experience. And the amount of different offenses and coaches that Clint Kubiak has worked for, he basically did an internship under Shanahan, but he worked under his dad, Gary Kubiak, won a Super Bowl in Denver. He worked with you know, Kirk Cousins, Justin Jefferson had a monster season in Minnesota when he was calling plays for them under Mike Zimmer. He worked for Nathaniel Hackett, who obviously flamed out as a head coach, but is a you know, impressive offensive coordinator. So even though he hasn't even turned 37 yet, turns 37 in a couple of weeks, a ton of experience, it's just the right kind of guy. Doesn't mean it'll work, but I don't know how people can't be enthusiastic about this hire.
Yeah, it's exactly what they needed, and you're right. And then look, I like the idea of like kind of just cutting off from the Sean stuff completely now. Yeah. Like it's who's left that is coached with him. Petrie was his coaching assistant or the assistant, so like not necessarily really on the staff at that point.
Curry, Doug Marrone,
Yeah, I mean going way back though. Like, Marrone wasn't like a direct like leftover after the Sean. So it's Curry and DJ Williams maybe.
Yeah.
And then Marrone left and came back.
Jari Evans obviously played under Sean, came back as a coach. But yeah, I mean there are some ties, but
you've cut off like a lot of them, so to speak. And I think it's just time for it. Like, I think it's just time to move on from that and do something completely different. And I wouldn't be surprised to see more staff changes too. Like, it's something that's definitely on the table, definitely possible.
Let Clint Kubiak have input on that. I mean, I expect them to want to keep Ronald Curry and Doug Marrone and some of those younger assistants you just mentioned. And I wouldn't see why Kubiak wouldn't be for that unless there's some things he just wants to completely change. But that doesn't mean he wouldn't bring his own pass game coordinator, his own run game coordinator. Maybe he'll run the passing game. But going back to something you said earlier, that cannot be overstated how important. I know it was important to the Saints, and I know when we've dug into this team, the run game needs to be fixed way more than, I mean, we all think, what does this mean for Derek Carr and Chris Olave and Rashid Shaheed? The run game is the part of this offense that was the most broken. So I'm really curious to see who he's putting in charge of that part of the offense. Well, look,
what they do is they create space, and that's what Alvin needs. Alvin needs some space. You let him get the first couple yards before there's somebody on him. I believe his yards before contact was the lowest of his career this year, and that's not because of him. Like, that's because of the blocking was terrible. Like, it was just up on him right away. I do think that the one thing I liked about the McVay offense and the idea of that is that they run more inside zone than outside zone. San Fran runs more outside zone than inside zone. So I don't know if Kubiak's going to do it the same way. I would guess, philosophically, theoretically, like he probably will. I think Alvin's better inside zone than outside zone. But if you're blocking it better, like maybe the outside zone improves itself. So maybe there's the improvement there. But the use of it, all that stuff, man, like anything you can do to make it easier for Carr, like that's going to get you the most out of him. I mean, how many quarterbacks, and I'm not saying that he's going to be Shanahan. Like, that's a really, really high bar to set. But if he can elevate the quarterback the way the Shanahan system typically does, I mean, that's what you need. Like, how many quarterbacks have they had? And none of them are any good in their, like, own classical sense of, like, this is the guy I need for my team. Like, none of them have been good, but they're always right there at the very end. And they're doing it again with Brock Purdy. Like, no offense on Brock Purdy, but like Brock Purdy isn't, he isn't CJ Stroud. He isn't Aaron Rodgers. He isn't, one of the top guys in the league. So if you can take Carr and you can just elevate him, two notches from 15th to 13th or 18th to 16th, like, you're going to feel that difference. And I think it makes life just easier for you overall.
One thing, we were in the same conversation at the Senior Bowl with somebody who knew Kubiak well. And one of the very first words out of his mouth was, I hope you like a lot of play action. Nothing helped Derek Carr more than play action last year.
Needs it bad. It got the offensive line working, all that stuff. We got another segment on Kubiak coming up in the show with Nick Anderson. We were talking about him before the news broke. So there's going to be some more talk about him moving on into this, just kind of about how he likes to attack defenses, how he likes to play the hits. So all those things are interesting. That conversation continues on the other side of this as we break down the Saints, the defense, and some other things with Nick Anderson. All right, let's get into our lead topic presented by Friend & Company Fine Jewelers, official jewelers of the New Orleans Saints. Friend & Company Fine Jewelers is excited to announce the opening of their new engagement salon. Friend & Company has a wide selection of engagement rings to choose from. And while you're there, check out their Florida Lee earring and necklace. They are specially priced for our NOF audience. All right, so the Saints defense, they finished 13th in yards, allowed 8th in points. There were some ups, there were some downs. We've obviously spent a lot of time talking about how much they need to revamp their offense. But how much of a revamp do you think their defense needs, or are they just a couple guys away from maybe getting back to where they want to be?
I feel like they're just a couple guys away. You got to look at the fact that you do have guys like Isaiah Foskey, who never really got his shine yet, never got his opportunity. You got guys like Jordan Howden, who balled this year. And then you got guys like DeMarco Jackson. Zach Bond got to show a little bit what he could do off the edge, and it helped a lot. So I just feel like, continuing to you know, really use the guys that you already have in the room, make those guys better. Add maybe a couple pieces up front where you're missing, especially on the outside, to help Carl Granderson to where when he comes off the field, you got somebody behind him that can do the same thing. And at the same point, you got Brian Brzee, who had a pretty solid year in the middle. Malcolm Rose got hurt late in the season. He had a very productive year against the run game. So I feel like, you know, all around at each position, even on the back end with Adebo, Alante, Tyron is looking grand as ever, and then DeMario holding down everything as a vet in the middle. The defense is in a pretty good shape.
I'm a little torn on this question. Like, I feel so good about this defense. If DeMario and Tyron and Cam Jordan can be like, we're not really 34, 32, 35 years old. DeMario pretended like that wasn't happening last year. Maybe if Cam Jordan gets a little healthier, he can still be back to what he was at least two seasons ago. Tyron, I think, had his best season with the Saints this year. I just hate that they're all getting older and that they haven't necessarily replenished. And then, obviously, the elephant in the room is Marshawn Lattimore. I mean, if Marshawn Lattimore is part of this defense, they can be elite. If Marshawn Lattimore is not a piece of this defense, that's another gaping hole that you have to fill. But, obviously, we've talked a lot on the show about how even if you love all those guys, even if those guys are here and playing well, still need to add to that pass rush pretty desperately, I think.
Yeah, it's kind of an interesting situation. I'm with Nick kind of on it. Like, I do think it is just a couple pieces, but the Lattimore thing is a huge thing. And, you know, as we reported, they changed his contract so that they have the ability to trade him and have it not completely ruin their cap. But if he's not part of it, I'm a little bit worried because I think he's a guy that kind of changes all the stuff you can do. Kind of would like to see Pete Werner take that next step in his development. He played all right, but like, yeah. I was kind of expecting him to be the guy that was like starting to get to the point where it's like, all right, if DeMario goes, like, you got the foundation. And I'm not sure I necessarily saw that like huge leap forward for him, but I think he still had a solid season. But yeah, I think you got to get a couple pass rushers. You get the run defense. You might mention Roach. You know, I think he was probably the most underrated player on the team this year. And I think when he got hurt, like, it really did put a hit on their run defense. They do need to re-sign him. But yeah, I mean, look, the thing is, though, is like, they were eighth in points. They're 1 point per game away from being a top four defense. Like,
it's crazy. It didn't feel like that, but yeah.
It didn't, and it's kind of 2 years in a row. Like, yeah. It was the same thing coming off of last year. We're like, man, like, they didn't necessarily have the production, but then you look up and it's like, there's no points being given away. And I do think that it was a kind of a result of the way that they played this year. Like, DA used to, like, blitz all the time and be so attacking. And, like, the first half of the season, they kind of backed off. One thing we heard from the players is that, like, they kind of got back to that later in the season, and then they hit their groove again. I know you were kind of watching the games and that. Like, was there anything that you kind of saw, like, just kind of in the approach, like, first half of the season, second half of the season, that was maybe a little bit different?
Overall, just looking at the defensive schematically, it's a great defense. The way that DA is able to really get things together to disguise different looks and play different coverages, but for more of a man-based defense. He asks a lot out of you as far as your physical ability, but I don't think that he doesn't have the players to do it. It's all about, really comes down to execution. And I feel like when executed well, that's a great defense to be a part of. But it asks a lot of you, especially from the front end, being able to, you know, be in the run game, but also be able to rush the passer in different looks and linebacker, play man coverage, be in the box, stop the run, you know, drop, middle run through. And on the outside, you're really playing by yourself. You got to be able to, you know, really control it man to man. And I just feel like, you know, it really comes down to execution when it comes to the players. Like I said, the defense is pretty solid, but it just, you know, comes down to being able to execute on a high level. And I feel like guys were never just in a position to where, you know, what are these guys doing? What's happening? It just came down to being a play away from really making a difference.
One of the things that I've heard from the players in the past is that, like, it puts a lot, especially on the linebackers, yeah, compared to other systems. Like, is someone that was part of it, like, what is that kind of, what does that mean? And, like, how is it different from maybe other systems you've been a part of?
It definitely asks a lot out of linebackers, from really just being able to pass rush, being able to play off-ball linebacker, be in the box, being able to drop in coverage and be man-to-man a lot. But when you do it well and you do it the way that DeMario has done it and been doing it, that's why he was all-pro this year. That's why he's going to the Pro Bowl, at the Pro Bowl right now, because it's one of those defenses to where it does ask you to do a lot, but if you're able to execute it, the benefits are crazy.
We'll be right back after these ads.
It's carnival time at New Orleans Hamburger and Seafood Company. Our gumbo combos are back. Enjoy our hot gumbo, fries, and your choice of shrimp, catfish, softshell crab, or frog legs starting at $9.99 at New Orleans Hamburger and Seafood Company.
Are you tired of renting and ready to own your dream home? Contact Jefferson Financial Federal Credit Union, your trusted source for home loans. Our competitive rates and flexible terms can help make your home ownership dreams a reality. If you're a first-time home buyer or looking to refinance, our experienced lenders are here to help. Our online application process allows you to apply on your schedule. It's quick, easy, and convenient. Visit us online at jeffersonfinancial.org to learn more. Federally insured by NCUA, Equal Housing Lender.
Martin Wine and Spirits is home to a selection of hand-picked barrel select bourbon, whiskeys, and much, much more. They are family owned and operated since 1946 and specialize in wine, spirits, gourmet food, gift baskets, catering, and tasting events. They have many locations, so they're never too far away. You can check them out in Metairie, New Orleans, Mandeville, and Baton Rouge, or if it's more convenient, you can always shop online. Whether you're a wine novice or a seasoned collector, you'll enjoy the Martin Wine and Spirit experience. All right.
I was going
to
take over.
All right, welcome
you.
Back to our new studio on Veterans Memorial Boulevard, right next door to Map Hours. If you need a new car, make sure you go check them out. Best prices, best customer care. They got dealerships all over the region. Make sure you go check them out. All right, it's time for our money segment.
Money segment presented by Jefferson Financial Federal Credit Union. Look, we had a lot of good conversations in Mobile this past week, and I was talking to some people who know Clint Kubiak, well, who we think is maybe the leading contender for the offensive coordinator job, certainly among them. And he described him this way, which was really interesting to me. He said, he's someone that if something is working well for the offense, he's going to just keep hammering away at it until you prove you can stop it. And the first thing that came to my mind was, all right, Clint Kubiak called plays for the Minnesota Vikings in 2021 when Justin Jefferson had his breakout year, 108 catches, 1,616 yards. And I thought, can Chris Olave be that kind of guy? Can Chris Olave be the, you know, we saw it with CeeDee Lamb this year in Dallas. We've seen it with a bunch of guys. Can Chris Olave be the guy that a new offensive coordinator is going to come in and say, oh, that's a guy that I'm just going to again and again until teams stop it? Can, I'm not saying can he be Justin Jefferson, but can he be the 100-plus catch, 1,500-plus yards guy you just hammer away at?
I thought one of the things that was frustrating with the offense this year is that, like, you would see Mike Thomas come out and he would have seven catches in the first quarter, whatever it was. There was a game where he, like, completely dominated. And then they went absolutely away from him the rest of the game. It's Taysom's averaging 5 yards a carry on a drive, and then you won't see him for seven more drives, or he's gone for the rest of the day. Sometimes just playing the hits, like, is something that can work, you know, for a team. And sometimes it seems like the Saints overthought things a little bit, where, you know, Sean would find the cornerback that had the bad hamstring and was limping a little bit and would throw at him 12 times in a game and just kind of demoralize you that way. And that was one of the things I felt like the Saints didn't do the last couple of years with Carmichael calling plays a little bit. Nick, when you're out there and a team is just kind of like going to a guy over and over and over and over, like, and you can't do anything really to stop it, like, what is that like for a defense? Can it kind of break the mentality a little bit?
Yeah, it's frustrating, and also it can cause problems. You can get a defense to shut down emotionally because now they're picking on the guy that's, like, continually giving up the plays and things like that. So being able to see that from an offensive standpoint to where, okay, where is their weak link? Let's attack their weak link and get the chain to break is one of the things that has to be done on that level, especially in the NFL level where, you know, you may have a guy out there and it may be Thursday night football. They don't have anybody else to go out there and compete. But being able to say, okay, this guy's, you know, not at his best, we're going to attack that, is always an advantage.
Yeah, it's something that they used to do. So, like, the game planning aspect of it. And it's funny, like, some of the players this year, like, you know, there were some not so veiled commentary about the coaching, and they felt like they got away from that aspect of it to where they were just kind of calling plays, and maybe there wasn't necessarily the pattern of, like, why they're calling it or, like, why they're going at somebody. And, you know, someone like Kubiak or someone else, like, that kind of has to be one of the things that I think you get, it's just good game planning. It's smart. It's kind of the way that you should be approaching everything.
They did it in Indy. It's funny when you mentioned that about the Thursday night game in Indy. They had so many injuries or like a guy who got benched at corner, and they went with a guy who had basically only been a special teams guy for them. The Saints just tormented the guy, and that we did want to see more of that throughout the season. It's funny. I asked about Chris Olave, and I'm going to curious about your thoughts in a second, but you mentioned my favorite, Taysom Hill. Like, whoever comes in here, and it's funny that we mentioned Luke Getsy working with Justin Fields, but obviously it would be true of of Kubiak, just anyone who could recognize that. If teams can't stop that, please, please hammer away at that. That's one thing, and I kind of blame the offensive line for this. I don't know if it's the run scheme for this. The Saints, it's been a couple years. You mentioned the offensive line when you said it all goes hand in hand. They haven't been able to just impose their will and say, we're running. We're going to run on this entire drive. They just haven't been able to do that very effectively. But what are your thoughts of you had that summer with Chris Olave when he just looked unstoppable. I mean, I don't know what makes an alpha receiver. I don't know if it's a mindset. I don't know if it's a size or whatever. But do you think he can take that next leap into the top guys we're talking about that position?
Man, I definitely think he has the attributes to really do that. I mean, it was maybe the second practice of OTAs, and he went up and caught a deep ball over Tyran and I think Marcus May and walked into the end zone, did his dance. And then just having another receiver like Shaheed and then having A.T. Perry to complement that, it's like you can't cover them all. So to where you can get Chris those targets to where he can make that separation and then also have other guys that you can make available because now they're trying to focus on stopping Chris. I just feel like they got really the weapons to have a phenomenal offense if everything is just used correctly. And I feel like it's one of those offenses to where, you know, why not have two Pro Bowl receivers? You know, you got great caliber receivers. You know, Chris can be the guy, but to where, okay, now a team's focused on stopping Chris, okay, you got somebody else that, you know, you can benefit off of. Almost like you look at the Bengals, okay, yeah, you got Ja'Marr Chase, and you can shut down Ja'Marr Chase, but on the other side, you got T. Higgins. So it's like, which one are you going to stop? And so I just feel like, you know, the Saints have the roster to make a defense have to worry about so much. You just got to be able to use it.
And you were out there, you know, going against them, watching them, studying them, all that stuff. Like, there's kind of been some talk about Alvin, about where he's at in his career. Me personally, I feel like he just needs a little bit more space to operate in, and he can be the guy that he's kind of been. Like, just seeing him out there last summer, I mean, did he look like somebody that was slowing down, or is he someone that you still think could be like a big featured part of the offense going forward?
I mean, I feel like he's at the top of his game, and then he's seen so much. Just like DeMario, when you've seen so much football and you are able to just still even do the minimum, you know, DeMario had a great year. He didn't have 130-some tackles. He didn't have the most sacks in the league, but he had a productive year. And a lot of that just came off him just being able to make plays. I know I was watching the Panthers game, and he added in off of man coverage blitz. He wasn't even supposed to blitz. He had the running back man coverage. I know that because I know the system. And he just ran and got the sack as soon as the running back blocked because he knows it. He's been in that system. He's seen so much of ball to where plays just come to him automatic. And I feel like that's the same thing with Alvin. He just, you know, dealt with the stuff at the beginning of the year that was kind of shaky. But as the season got on, you saw the flashes. You saw, you know, things like that. But it just comes with, you know, the frustration of losing. You know, when you're losing and you're not winning, it kind of, you know, does something to you mentally to where your frustrations are sometimes seen in the way that you play. And I know that firsthand from being at Tulane and losing 10 games, you know, you just don't play the same after that. So, you know, I definitely feel like he's still at the top of his game, but winning makes everything better. I know he's a fierce competitor and he still, you know, is in a great position to really add and keep doing the things that he's been doing in the past with his offense.
Yeah, incredibly intelligent individual. Another intelligent choice is going to Martin's if you need some wine or anything else. They're home to a wide selection of hand-picked barrel select bourbon, whiskeys, and more. Martin's so much more than just wine. We got two questions of the day today. The first one, 6 out of 8 head coach hires were defensive guys. What do you make of that?
Way to go, Nick. Finally, right? They were out of offensive choices because I think the last like 18 in a row had all been offensive. No, but I am surprised. I'm surprised. We came on here you know, at the beginning of this saying it would probably be an advantage to Dennis Allen in the offensive coordinator search that so many people hire offensive-minded coaches. And then you see Dan Quinn get a job. You see Mike McDonald get a job. I'm forgetting probably 2 or 3 more of them. But that is definitely zagging from where this league has been, which is pretty surprising after everybody wanted, you know, the next McVay assistant and the next Shanahan assistant. I think it's about the guys, though. I mean, we're looking at probably the coach of the year or one of the coaches of the year is Dan Campbell. One of the coaches of the year this year is DeMeco Ryans. And I think teams are recognizing, get the guy. Get the guy I want leading my team. I think people feel that way about Mike McDonald. I think people feel that way about some of these other guys, like Jim Harbaugh from college, obviously. I don't think it's necessarily about, you know, we're trying to unearth the next guru. We want the guy who can lead this team. And that's probably the smartest way to hire a head coach.
Yeah, like when someone is kind of like just like a great inspirer and everything, like How different is that as opposed to, like, you know, so there's some guys that are just great schematically, but they don't necessarily know how to command the room. Like, when you do have, like, a Dan Campbell type, like, as a player, like, what does that kind of get out of you?
Man, it just makes you want to run through a brick wall. Like, just imagine if DeMar L. Davis decides to go into coaching and is a head coach. His simple presence in the room is going to make the guys up under him want to do their job to the fullest, not really worried about what they can accomplish selfishly, but really wanting to impress their coach and really make their coach happy. Coach Fritz was a defensive coach, and the way that he just would take control of the room, the way that he would just, you know, get after guys, and just that fierce competitiveness that you have to have to be a defensive player, you see that through defensive coaches. I mean, look at the Raiders. You know, they made a quick turnaround, you know, after Pierce being the head coach, the interim head coach. And those guys, if you ask them, you know, what was the difference maker, is they really wanted to play for him. What he stood for, his fierce competitiveness and just his tenacity as a coach, it fires you up as a player. And, I mean, D'Amico Ryan's in for the Texans is a phenomenal guy.
Yeah.
I mean, me just being a linebacker, like, why would you not want your head coach to be a linebacker? But just having a head coach with just a defensive mindset and understands, you know, yeah, it comes down to scheme, but it also comes down to really just being able to impose your will on somebody. You know, a lot of times, you know, you can have the best scheme, but if you don't have guys that don't have the dog, they can't get it done. So definitely, you know, on the defensive side of the ball, having a guy that understands that, really calling the shots, you know, it just gets the team behind you, motivates the team in a different way than somebody that, you know, can't really talk to the guys, but he can draw up the best plays.
All right, I'm coming back to you for this one. Second question. If Marshawn Lattimore gets traded, do you see Alante Taylor as someone that could be a full-time outside cornerback, or should he stay in the slot moving forward?
I feel like he can do it both. And I feel like he can do it both based on not only his intangibles and his physical traits that he has, but his mentality. Man, like, Alante shocked me to, like, see him in person. He's not a small guy, but, you know, he's not the most broad guy when it turns to mass. But the way he comes down in the run game and just the way he talks his trash when he needs to, it's just that level of competitiveness. I'm pretty sure he can be a number one outside corner if needed, because he just got the mentality. And that's what you got to have playing cornerback in the NFL. Especially the way the game is today, you got to have that mentality that I'm the best on the field, because you have to have that. Guys are going to try you. You know, you can't touch them after five. You got to be technique sound. And I feel like it's even harder playing in the slot because you're going against a little bit more athletic receivers. I just feel like he has that experience to do it on the inside and the outside. And if Marshawn was to be traded, I don't see where he's falling off moving to the outside or being able to do both, really.
Yeah, I mean, we've talked about this a lot. You had some stats that backed it up, too. It feels like Alante is better on the outside than the inside, but that makes sense because the inside's new to him. If Marshawn stays, it's obvious I keep Marshawn and Adebo on the outside, and I keep working with Alante inside. If Marshawn leaves and you bring back Isaac Yiadom, I thought he was really good outside, so maybe I still leave Alante inside, but I don't know. I mean, you're going to pick your two best guys, and you're going to put them outside, and I think Alante has a chance to be one of those two best guys on the outside if Marshawn's not here.
All right, that's all we got for you guys today. Shout out to Mike. It's his birthday. He's an undisclosed amount of years old.
I'm over the cap.
You're over the cap. All right, Nick, thanks for joining us, man. That was outstanding. We'll be back on Monday with another episode. Keep it locked to New Orleans Style Football.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.